The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Well, I'm back after 2 weeks of working hard to move my residence to a big, huge house. And I've also added another office location. And things are really moving forward here. Oh, my goodness. And yes, the Law of Attraction works, and it works well. To give you more information on that, I've invited a dear friend and colleague to be on the show with me tonight, Mr. G.P. Walsh of Conversation with G. G.P. is absolutely brilliant when it comes to understanding and teaching the Law of Attraction. He can explain things that everyone can resonate with. So I just want you to sit back, relax, and tune in, because the brilliant G.P. Walsh will be talking directly to you tonight. You're going to love this. We'll be right back after these short messages.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the Law of Attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com.
We are back on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Now, I want to remind you about the iLiving app income producing stream. So many people that have signed up under the Law of Attraction Radio Network umbrella are now free from having to pay their $9.95 fee per month because their matrix is full simply due to our overflow. As I said, you can remain passive, but the truth is action will bring about faster results and money to you. When you sign up, you will be going into someone else's matrix under the Law of Attraction Radio Network's umbrella, but this will help them to reach their goal. Then people who sign up in the future under us will fill up your matrix. Now, last week, I received my new business cards so that I can simply hand out this opportunity of making $2,500 per month to people that I come across. All I have to do is get out these cards. And it is like paying it forward. If they take the action step to join in time, they're going to receive $2,500 per month. The very act of thinking about this possibility to improve the quality of their lives will send out huge rockets of desires out to the universe. What does this do to people on a mass consciousness level? Oh my goodness, this could really shift the planet. Many people think that MLMs are not worth it. But I got to tell you, I know this program is the exception. And if you simply bring three people who really need to make this money, and they bring on three people who really need to make that $2,500 per month, well, look what you have shown the universe, that you're not only helping yourself, but you're helping others to do it. You have taken an action step to increase your income so that you can become financially stable. Now, are you going to make $2,500 per month tomorrow? No. But what you are doing is setting the wheels in motion so that the universe can deliver this or something better to you. So I want to urge all of you just to take the action step and join ilivingapp.com/LOA Radio Network. In one way or another, you will be receiving $2,500 per month in addition to what you're making, because you are setting this intention in motion by joining ilivingapp.com/LOA Radio Network. And if you forget because you're driving somewhere, just go to loaradionetwork.com and you'll see the little iLivingApp box that you just click on that will take you to us and sign up immediately. Take that action step, and I know that you are going to see the magic behind doing this. Now, last week I got this really, really nice letter, and I got to tell you, it was worth more than $1 million to me. It actually brought tears to my eyes, and I wanted to share it with you. It says, "Hi, Jules. I've been listening to your show, and it has been amazing. My life changed since I started listening to your podcast and since I had my first hypnotherapy Skype session with you. It completely transformed the way I see my life. I've seen a lot of books on Buddhism, positive thinking, and even on the law of attraction, but nothing has ever affected me the way you have. I just wanted to send a quick thank you. I think you're amazing. Thank you for doing what you do. Looking forward to our next session. Best, Colette." Wow. Wow. When I hear from the listeners and my hypnotherapy clients, I can't help but become so grateful. I love what I do. When I talk into that microphone, I really don't know if anyone is listening. So when I get letters from Jamaica or clients from Israel or Switzerland or even Australia, I sit there absolutely amazed by understanding what the law of attraction principles has literally done for my life. I sit here absolutely humbled in this little bedroom community in Southern California and being able to touch people all over the world. This is what life is about for me, showing people the power they possess to create the life that is so joyful and abundant. And I don't do anything. I simply guide them, and they do it all themselves. You see, it's all about your mind, your thoughts, and your emotions. So I would love to offer you my personal services to assist you in manifesting your amazing life. Send me an email at jules@loaradionetwork.com or go to lawofattractiontools.com for more information. I am so excited about the possibility of introducing you to your most brilliant, magnificent, incredible mind. I'm here to help. Now, let's talk to the irreverent sage, G.P. Walsh. If you haven't heard his show, Conversations with G on Law of Attraction Radio Network, well, you're missing something special. G.P. is a gifted musician, EFT expert, voiceover artist, and more importantly, he is an outstanding spiritual teacher and law of attraction expert that has helped many worldwide. I absolutely adore this man, besides his incredible sexy voice. Welcome, GP, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so thrilled to have you back on the show. And I just got to tell you that your show, Conversation with G, has been a phenomenal success. People absolutely love you.
Thank you, Jules. It's great to be here. It's wonderful as always.
Tell me my audience a little bit of background about you, because you are so diversified, and you have got one of the sexiest voices I've ever heard.
Well, thank you very much. It's I didn't have anything to do with it. It kind of came with the package. But I have learned how to use it, and as you said, I've done a lot of things, including voiceovers for commercials for TV and radio. I've done video games. I was actually several of the characters on the first Doom, which was one of the and Rita Rabbit series and the like. I even did a bank answering machine system once. You know, press 1 for checks, press 2 for savings.
I know, that's where I knew your voice. That is so cool.
It's very fun. But it's come in handy as a spiritual teacher, so I do my own the meditations and the like. And so I've learned how to use the voice to bring about the positive effect for people, because the idea of a guided meditation or a teaching like that is to help people actually get the experience of it, not just talk about it, but to actually bring them into the experience so that they can feel it for themselves. Like, once you feel it for yourself, you can begin to reproduce it. And then you don't need the teacher anymore, which is, of course, the point, being
right.
The teacher's job is to get fired.
So tell us, how did you get into being a spiritual teacher? Were you always interested in it when you were a little boy?
Always. Yeah, it was always an inclination. I was always curious about how things really were. And I was really aware at a very young age of the way things were perceived and the way things really are. And I became kind of just fascinated with the whole thing. It may have had something to do with the fact that my mother was very unstable. She was a borderline psychotic and almost completely dysfunctional. And as I got older and I began to realize how delusional she was, it became really apparent to me that people could get themselves locked into a world that didn't actually exist. And for her, it was an extreme case. But I realized that it's kind of all of us are in that state. We all get locked in these states. We believe it to be true. We act it's true. We experience it true. The law of attraction, we actually have lots of feedback coming back to us as if it was true.
Right.
And it's not. And it isn't. It's all just the conviction of our beliefs about taking some standpoint, which is really the heart and soul of spirituality. And I think the thing that separates spirituality as an approach to developing your life rather than self-help is that there is this focus on what's actually true, not just better results, but which is great. You need to get those, and that's part of it. But what's really true? I'm inquiring into myself, not just because I want to have more goodies, but because I really want to know who I am.
Mm. Isn't that the truth? Right.
And because once I know who I am, the rest just happens naturally, and it really is the end of the struggle. It's the end of suffering. It's the end of the lack of self-esteem and self-appreciation, because you see yourself as you actually are. And we're afraid to do that because we've all been taught that we're less than we're supposed to be. But when you really do actually see who you are, you fall in love with it because it's so just breathtakingly beautiful.
But it's almost an impossible journey.
Almost.
And that's why we're here. But it is so tough to get to that place where you are actually feeling your fulfillment, that you're okay. It's one of the most difficult journeys of a person's life.
Absolutely.
And thank goodness, as we get older, it's easier to get there, but my goodness, what a journey.
Climbing Mount Everest is a piece of cake compared to
yes.
It requires just an enormous honesty, an enormous humility, an enormous willing to challenge even our most cherished assumptions. And frankly, most of us don't just come to it until we've suffered adequately. I mean, I hate to say it, but the reality is that most of us won't let go of our preconceptions until they've caused us so much pain that we go, oh my God, I give up, I surrender. And then, of course, the magic begins to occur, because then the real you can begin to emerge. But yeah, it is hard. It takes guidance. It takes a teacher. Very few people in all of history, let alone alive now, have actually done it on their own.
Right.
And if you look at some of the other philosophies about past lives and stuff, nobody actually did it on their own. They were
good point.
Before, you know, they may did it in this life, but they had preparation before they get there. I mean, and there's validity to that. I mean, the things that occurred to me when I was very, very young, they didn't come out of my environment. Nobody in my environment knew about this stuff, thought about this stuff, talked about this stuff, and there I was doing it. I used to fall into samadhi, which is just the state of just total peace and quiet, total awareness, and yet absolutely nothing bothered you. Nothing. I mean, it's just, I would just like sit in total stillness. It freaked my mother out when it would happen, and it happened very spontaneously. I didn't try to do it, you know, but just suddenly then, you know, nothing perturbed me.
Wow.
Right? Now, that wasn't my state all the time. I would go in and out. I was just a regular kid. But looking back on it, I began to realize that, you know, that this was something that was brewing in me from the very beginning, and that, you know, this is a lifetime in which I would cultivate it more deeply.
Well, you are definitely a right brain person, because not only are you of the spiritual realm, but you are a musician, and your music is so heavenly.
Thank you.
It really is. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's one of my favorite things to listen to.
Thank you.
So how are you're doing music still, or you're not?
I do music still, because I love to write music. I just love to do it. I don't play in public anymore. I don't perform. That's very demanding. It's just, you know, the amount of work to keep your level of performance up to that high quality just is still hours a day. It doesn't matter how good you get. I mean, you're still investing hours a day at it. And, it, you know, just my teaching is more important to me. But I still write a bit. I actually have some things being considered for, you know, backgrounds and commercials and stuff. I throw some stuff out there, as you know, to use it. And of course, I do all the music for my meditation CDs. Oh, yeah. I do the music for introductions for any of the other material that I produce. And sometimes, if I like them, I'll do some music for, you know, somebody else's CD course, just because you know, I want it allows me to help them you know, get their message out. And yeah, the more of that there is, the better, as far as I'm concerned. So it's still a big part of me. I started playing when I was 5. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, so
a musical prodigy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it came very naturally. It came very very easily, you know, I fell in love with it. And frankly, considering the nature of my home life when I was a teenager, it saved my life. It gave me a focus that allowed me to, you know, to channel my energy, and also to honor my creativity, to be able to own the creativity, which was not something that was honored in my family. I was the only artist that ever appeared in my family as well. So, you know, they watched TV. They never listened to music. They never went to plays. There was no culture in there at all. So there was no support for a creative life. And this is the story of many, many people. You know, somebody emerges that's just so completely different than your tribe. And there's, you know, it can instill a deep sense of not being right, of not being adequate. And also that's where the process of the suppression comes from, where we kind of have to bury who we really are, because it's not acceptable in the environment, and then become somebody we really aren't. And then it gets so ingrained that we actually forgot who we are, and we think this is who we are, and it's not true. That's where it all comes from. And that's why it's hard to get back to who you really are, because you have to go through these layers of inauthentic behavior that have been programmed into the nervous system as automatic responses, because that's how you stayed safe when you were a kid. You know, the environment, your parents did something, you responded the way they needed you to respond, and it became automatic, like riding a bike. You didn't even think about it. It just happened. And after a while, you even forgot that it wasn't you. that it was artificial behavior that was created and inhabited instead of the real you, which just simply didn't have permission to come out.
Mm-hmm. But everything that happened to you in your past is what made you the incredible person that you are today.
You know, it's just one of those paradoxes of life. You know, you want to say it was terrible things that happened, and then you look at where your life goes, and you go, well, this is what made this happen. So was it terrible? Well, the answer is yes and no. You know, I mean, it depends on where you look at it. It depends on where it fades to black. I mean, it's a tragedy that the Chinese took over Tibet. Mm-hmm. But if they hadn't, nobody in the world would know who the Dalai Lama is. He wouldn't be traveling the world. He wouldn't be a household name now. That message of compassion and peace would not be getting out there. He wouldn't have won the Nobel Prize. He would have just been an obscure, you know, religious and political leader of his country, and nobody would have had a clue as to who he was. So was it a bad thing? Yes. Was it a good thing? Yes. I mean, that's the paradox of life, and we might as well get used to it, because that's the way life actually works.
Exactly. And you know what? That's kind of going on right now in looking at what's going on in the U.S., in the world. All of this bad stuff and the economy, and you have a workshop that is talking about the infinite potential coming out. And that's regardless of what's going on around you in the world, right?
Absolutely, yeah. What's happening in the world is really a call to us to a new level of consciousness. It's an invitation to take a step up. You can grouse about it and you can complain, or you can understand that life is operating within an enormous power and intelligence. And if you accept that life knows what it's doing, you start looking for the opportunities in the mess. You find that it really isn't a mess after all, that it is simply, you know, when I like to use the analogy that, you know, sometimes to create a new compound, you know, the process by which it's created is smelly and dirty and toxic. And what you end up with, though, is incredibly beautiful and useful. You know, in order to get pure gold, you have to burn it. And it burns so hot that everything that isn't gold gets burned away, right? It's just everything else has a lower burning temperature than the gold does. And this is what's true about our soul. Everything that's been attached to it has a lower burning temperature than your soul does. You can't destroy that. But you can put a lot of pressure on it, because that's what we have to let go of. And we're really, literally being invited by everything going on in the world right now to make that step. It's becoming an inevitability. We're going to have to do it. You know, and you can do it willingly, right? Or you can do it kicking and screaming. And, you know, I've just decided to do it willingly, because there's a whole lot less suffering in it. But it is inevitable. We have to understand that. It is inevitable. For us to wake up to who we are on a global level is our destiny. And we just happen to be living in a time when it's being fulfilled.
So how do we understand our infinite potential and not disregard, but go beyond all of the stuff that's going on around us?
Well, step one, your infinite, unbounded, limitless potential is a fact. Okay? And because it is potential, right, it's there whether you realize it or not, whether it's manifested itself or not. We have to don't ever get caught in the self-defeating cycle of judging what you are capable of by what you have already done. Because you're always greater than anything you can do. Anything you can do is always just limited in the moment. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But you do not. There'll be another thing after that, and another thing after that, and another thing, and it's a constant spiral upward. So begin to just accept as best you can, even on faith, because you can't, if you don't see any evidence of it, that you are capable of being, doing, and having everything and anything you want to be, do, and have. Now, to just accept that in your heart immediately makes a shift in the energy. Because if you accept that that's true, even when you don't see it, you will begin to see it. Mm-hmm. That opens the door of the senses. It opens the door of our sensitivity. So the evidence that that's true can begin to get in. Because as long as we hold the opposite, then the system is just going to reject anything that contradicts it. That's what it does. It's obedient to you. You know, you decide what the truth is, and then the universe conforms to that truth. That's the nature of the law of attraction. So what is the truth that you want that the universe to conform to? And if you want to get it to the truth, you simply recognize that which is absolutely true about you. You have the infinite potential. You do have it. And I will say that over and over again so it can begin to sink into people, because that's where it starts. If I don't believe I have it, I'm going to just be spinning my wheels trying to get it. And, of course, you can't, because if you already have it, you can't get it. There's no place out there to get it from, right? Because it's already innate within you. So immediately that turns the vision within to begin to look for the evidence of that infinite potential. And then once that begins to appear, you begin to respond to it. You begin to make use of it. You begin to be more open and creative and allowing with things. So ideas that before you simply would have rejected suddenly become, well, maybe this is a good idea. Because you've accepted that everything, with infinite potential, it means every idea you have, every impulse you have, every leading you have is coming from that.
Right.
It's all coming from that. Even the desire to want more is coming from the infinite potential. It's everything that you are, every thought, every gesture, every motion is actually emanating from that for the express purpose of giving itself full expression through this vehicle, which is the human body. And that infinite potential is actually the real you, the unbounded, formless, indescribable, ineffable you that is capable of taking on any kind of form, any kind of manifestation. And then it becomes a matter of getting to know yourself. What do I really want to manifest? You know, in the beginning, when people learn about the law of attraction, it really is, you know, it's a big step forward. Most people still kind of process it through the idea of just the survival. I want more money. I want more things. I want to feel more safe, right? Which is great, but that still means that a very primitive sense that survival mechanism is governing your vision, mm-hmm. right? If that's taken care of, right, what do you really want to have happen beyond just, you know, needing my creature comforts taken care of and needing to feel a bit of security, then what? You know, animals, once they have all of their needs satisfied, they just sit there and they purr and they do their thing, right? Humans are unique in that once ours are satisfied, immediately a desire to create something bigger emerges.
Right.
We just don't eat our food and then lay down in the Serengeti for 3 days. You know, the moment my appetite is satisfied and my needs are taken care of, it's like, what do I want to make? What do I want to create? What do I want to build? That's human. That's what we do. And we need to be willing to spend more time with that. And you do that simply, what do I like to do? What do I like to read? What things turn me on? If I'm walking by a magazine rack and there's 1,000 magazines, what's the one that just happens to catch my eye that I have to walk over and pick it up? This is how you discover, what do I really want to make that is beyond just satisfying my needs, right? So that I can actually take my level of vibration to the level of real creativity. Then I really become a co-creator. Actually, it's not even co-creation. I don't actually like that term, because it's as if, you know, you're kind of huddling with somebody. You make the vision, the universe makes the thing. It's simple as that.
I agree.
It can't act without you. The reason it's co-created, the way we reason together, is because we, as the kind of the conscious center of this whole thing, we hold the vision. That's our job. It's not to make it. It's not to make all this stuff happen. It's not to implement any kind of laws or rules. It's simply, the vision. with a creative energy and a passion and a and an appreciation of it that just begins to make universes orbit around it. And so the law of attraction is completely and totally your servant, and it's up to you to make that decision about what matters to me.
Mm. Well, that's great, but let's go back to that survival mode, because you know, one of the things that is so hard to get away from is that innate fear that resides in our brain, our fight or flight.
Yes.
How do we get around that? How can we calm that down to get to that place where we can start creating and just feel so great and forget about all the other details?
Oh, it's totally easy to do that.
The world is waiting to hear.
It's so incredibly easy to do it. It's so obvious. We've tripped over it 1,000 times without ever knowing it. You listen to it. The fear instinct is a natural phenomena. It's necessary for life.
Right.
Okay? The problem isn't the fear instinct. We have to get rid of fear. The problem is that we've ignored it. And so it gets more vociferous in doing what it needs to do. It is the number one mandate of the nervous system to be safe, to keep you safe. And if it doesn't think it's being listened to, it heightens the sense of not being safe. The moment you listen to it and assume the role as the master of this inner territory, it surrenders to you. And it says, here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I think could be a problem. You take it from now, from here. You take it, and then the nervous system just goes back to scanning the environment. Boom, it's gone. Because all it needs, that's its job, is to point out something that could be a threat to you. Once it's pointed out, if you hear it, its job's done. And it just goes, okay, we're good. And it just settles back into doing what it was meant to do, which is to scan the environment and notify you of potential danger. Or take over if it has to, right?
Okay, let's give you an example here. And I want you to kind of act this out for everybody so that we can get a good feeling of what you are expressing here. What about... you just were told, sorry, we can no longer pay you. We have no money. We're going to have to let you go.
Right.
What do you do in a situation like that?
Right. Well, now, this is something real has happened. It's a real threat. This isn't an imaginary threat, you know. 90% of what we're afraid of are anticipations of the future, and they're not real. They're complete and total fabrications of the mind, right? This is real. I'm threatened now, right? So that fear is going to be useful, because that fear is saying, okay, there's danger. We have to solve this. It will be communicating to you a higher level of alertness. It's going to prioritize things, because now you aren't safe. You need to get safe, right? So it's going to change your life to the point where you start prioritizing to say, okay, I have to take care of this now. And that means looking for other work, doing another, but whatever it is, whatever that might entail to do that. And as long as you are actively engaged for it, I guarantee you that fear will abate, because the threat is being taken care of. It only becomes a problem for us when we don't do something about the fear, right? Fight or flight. Those are the two options, right? And taking action is fighting. In as far as the nervous system is concerned. I mean, the primitive level, I'm running away from the bear that's going to eat me, or I'm putting up my dukes in a futile attempt to beat off the bear. But in our world that is far more sophisticated, it's really just I'm taking action. Right?
Yeah.
I am doing something. I'm not just sitting there going, woe is me. I have shifted my priorities. I'm taking responsibility. I'm learning what I need to learn. I'm surveying. And as a result, because of that change in focus, the nervous system is going to open up. It's going to start looking for opportunities.
Right.
It's going to then engage the law of attraction, because you are actually working with the energy. It's a big misunderstanding that people think, if I'm afraid, then I'm going to bring all these bad things into my life. It's not true. You know, there's a thing that people love to quote, fear and it will appear. You know, it's nonsense. Look at your life. How many of the things you've been afraid of actually happened? almost none of them. So feeling fear is not an invocation of the negative aspects of the law of attraction. It is a natural response that tells you something important is happening that you must give priority to. So it'll change your spending habits. It'll change your daily habit. It'll change everything. It may even wake you up and go, you know what? I have not done a very good job at insulating myself from this danger. I need to save more. I need to have an investment plan. I mean, the ideas that can come to you in that situation are too numerous to mention. But the real call is to actively and totally engage in it, to say, okay, what is my number one priority right now? That takes all of that energy of fear and focuses it on solution. And so even the energy of fear now becomes positive. And progressive.
And like you said, the action, to me, always represents hope. It gives you hope for the future. If you sit back and let that fear just overcome you, that's the place where you get stuck for a period of time. Yes. But that can happen as well. So that's really what we got to guard against, right?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes it just takes discipline. You know, because it is easy to get stuck, especially if you really don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. The fear can become almost overwhelming. In which case, just quiet yourself, breathe, listen to the fear, acknowledge the fear. You know, never ever try to suppress it. It's not the enemy. Just listen to it, acknowledge it, say, okay, I know this energy of fear is here. This is very important. Right now I don't know what to do, which increases the fear, but this is the fact. Let's deal with it. I need some fresh ideas.
Yeah, fresh ideas. That's exciting, because that allows you to start dreaming. And if we can only start dreaming at those period of times, then we're sending all of this information out to the universe. So to bring back, and then we can recognize the opportunities flowing to us.
Yes. Just because I don't have an idea now doesn't mean I'm out of them forever. And just because I don't know what to do now doesn't mean in another second it's not going to appear. I mean, the fact that I say, I don't know, there's an I don't know that's, oh, my God, I don't know. And there's an I don't know that's like, I don't know, which is very open, right? And it's going, I don't know. Somebody tell me. If there's an ear, there must be a voice.
So there's really nothing that we have to fear. Rather than immediate threat to our physical body, there's really nothing that we need to fear permanently. It is, we use that as the contrast to move us forward.
That it's beautiful the way you said that. There's nothing we need to fear permanently. Fear is not permanent. If we get it stuck in a permanent sense of fear, they call it stress, and it's extremely destructive. The human body was not made for that. It was made to deal with specific incidences of threat, right? And so it shuts everything unnecessary down, all the energy, the blood, everything is focused into the muscles. Your attention becomes one-pointed, and I'm either going to run or I'm going to fight what I need to fight. I mean, look at a cat, you know, that gets confronted by a dog or something, you know. Their backs are up, they're all in, you know. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, they're laying in the sun, licking themselves, purring. Boom, it's gone. That's the way the body works if we don't interfere with it. We interfere with it through our anticipation of the future. We think, what might go wrong? And that, look, in our culture, that's regarded as a virtue. You know, we're always talking about your life insurance, what can happen, and defensive, and we need these weapons and all this stuff. It's about anticipating every possible thing that could go wrong, right? Of course, we've got these images constantly going on in our mind of these terrible things that happen, and so we never actually feel safe. Even when we are safe, we don't feel safe.
Right, exactly.
And we're doing it in order to be safe, which to me is like, it's so insane.
It really is. Do you watch the news, GP?
No, I don't.
Ah, good. I don't either.
No, I don't. There's. It's not news. It's fabrication. It's sensationalism. It's just made to create an effect and tell a story, and the worst possible story, to just keep the worst parts of us interested and entertained. It's not news.
Good. Good. So tell us about your upcoming workshop, which sounds absolutely fantastic to me.
Well, it's actually a big program called Unbounded Potential, put on by Karen and Selma. And they've been doing it. This is like the seventh year they've done it. They've been doing it for a long time, and I'm very honored that they asked me to participate in it. And it's about my part of it. I'm always, I'm always asked about stuff because I am a spiritual teacher. I'm also, creative with the music. I've also done a lot of things in business. I still own a software company that I started, and my two sons run it. Now,
wow.
I'm kind of on the side, much to their delight. And I was a consultant to Fortune 500 companies. I did large scale software projects. One of them won a Carnegie Mellon Award because it was the first time it had ever been done. So
wow.
I've had a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, but it's all been through this spiritual approach that I take to life. Nothing is excluded, even hardcore business stuff. And these projects were one was close to $1 billion that they invested in it, and it,
wow.
So my design had to work. I mean, it had to work. That was the one where I designed the system for Merrill Lynch and the New York Stock Exchange.
Wow.
For all the transactions that go back and forth. So it had to work. There was no, there was no option for failure. So, this stuff is more than just, nice, pretty ideas. I mean, it's very powerful, and it works in everyday life. And where I got the ideas for the innovation to make this stuff work came from the very same spiritual principles that I'm speaking of. Its range of influence and its range of potential is limitless. It touches everything, because the spiritual approach is unification. It excludes nothing, whether it be hardcore business or it be the most, spiritual effervescent teaching. It's all the same as far as that's concerned. So in that case, I've been in summits that have been just purely about spirituality, and others that have been purely about business to bring that approach to it. And this one is really about finding inside of you that which you really care about, right? And then taking off all of the artificial blocks you've put on it to realizing it. Giving yourself permission to want what you want when you want it. And to recognize that want, although early on in life, wanting what you want when you wanted it may have run contrary to the rules of the tribe, it's actually pure, it's innocent, and it's the thing that's driving your life forward. It's the most you. So, we have we have a lot of really weird ideas about our desires and the like. If you see desire correctly, you see that it is, at its essence, a desire to express yourself. That's always what it is. And so it's a two-pronged approach to take to realizing your unbounded potential. One is removing the blocks that allow you to do that. And, I've worked with people who were so blocked that they couldn't even let themselves dream.
Yes.
What do you want? And they couldn't tell you.
Isn't that sad? Oh, yes, I run across that all the time.
It gets so shut down that you won't even let yourself want it because, let's face it, if you did express what you wanted when you were young and it met with disapproval, sometimes even abuse, it becomes dangerous to express it. And the way you deal with it is by not even feeling it. You just try to forget about it.
Right.
You make it wrong. So you can't even let yourself think it, let alone ask for it.
Right.
That's the classic second chakra shutdown. And we all suffer for it. And the second chakra is the home of personal power, sex, love, intimacy, and money. They're all the same energy.
Wow.
Yeah, it is simply the energy. Do I have permission to own my desires and ask for them to be fulfilled and accept them being fulfilled? That's the question. So step one is you need to own those desires. You need to own those dreams. You need to picture what it is you really want in your life, both what you do and what you have. And as you do, it just begins to blossom. It begins to open up. And as that happens, of course, the more you own it, the more the blocks come off. Mm-hmm. The more the doors open, the more you feel comfortable with what you desire, the less self-judgment there is. Which, of course, leads to being with different people, because you'll be gravitating towards people who will be honoring those desires as well and also committed to fulfilling them. They become your age. You move away from the people who disrespect them or don't think they're legitimate. This is the gritty road to self-awareness, to self-awakening. And it is a gritty road, as you pointed out before. This is hard work. It's a gritty road. It is not laden with rose petals.
Darn.
It is not all flowery. It is, the thing I love, I always want to point out is because people really beat themselves up about this, all these problems we have in our unconscious mind and these patterns and these programs. Folks, they had to be put there. That's how you were protected. You didn't do anything bad to do that. This is the necessity. For some reason, this is the way nature works. This is the way the human nervous system works. This is the way it has to happen. And so in order to be fully yourself, you have to realize who you are to then liberate the nervous system, which is in a constant mode of self-protection. And as it becomes liberated and you become more masterful and more trustworthy, self-protection moves into self-expression. And the very thing that's been protecting you becomes the most exquisite instrument of expression that has ever existed.
Mm. Beautiful. That's music to my ears.
That's exactly what it is. It is like a piano, you know? The human system, the human mind, and I'm talking about the mind, the emotions, the physicality, all of it is an instrument to be played, right? Mm-hmm. And in order for it to develop itself to the point where it could be played, it had to first protect itself, and that's where all of these patterns got put into place. And it's just sitting there waiting now for you to emerge as that conscious center, the master in the center, become the king or the queen, the sovereign of your own universe. And so when you step into that, it then becomes the servant. And all of that abilities that it have become yours to use now for that self-expression. But it's up to you to do that.
So in your workshop, you're going to be covering all of what it takes for a person to realize their infinite potential. Is there any other things that you're going to be covering in your workshop? It sounds so, so vital.
Yes. Well, the whole process is vital because there's many different piece parts to the whole thing. It starts with the acknowledgement that you have an infinite potential and honoring your own feelings, honoring your dreams, which begins to open you up for the self-discovery. So you begin to step into that mastery, which knows what it is that it wants to create. Then it becomes a process of implementing it and integrating it into your life, right? Defining it. I mean, your purpose is very big. Your infinite potential is infinite, and so, but you can't make something infinite, right? You're going to make something, right? So deciding what that thing is that you're going to do. It becomes part of what you hone. I say, in my terminology, I say one is your purpose, which is who you are and the vastness of everything, that unique quality that is uniquely you. And your mission is what you decide to do in this moment. And that moment may be 20 years, it may be 10 minutes, whatever it is. But then what you do takes on the role of the mission, and the mission being always the expression of your purpose. And the third leg in on that particular little tripod is then to understand and to honor how it is you want to live. Now, in a lot of the law of attraction teaching, that's what they usually focus on, the money, the cars, the houses, and, you know, the end result. Right. They focus on that. And I don't want, you can't deny that. But if you do that to the exclusion of purpose and mission, you're going to spend your life chasing the goodies. And we all know people who have done that, the CEOs of companies who have no life and they have a lot of money, right? However, if you focus just on mission and purpose and not on how you want to live, you become one of those alternative healers who burn themselves out because they never take care of themselves. So all of these need to be in balance. I do need to, how do I want to live? Where do I want to live? What the kind of house that I like? Do I want, you know, something by the ocean? Do I want a loft in a city? I mean, actually just asking yourself those questions, how do I actually want to live? Now you've got a picture of your life. The next stage after that is to actually step into it. And I kind of say that there's the yin part, which is the purpose, mission, and lifestyle. And that's the vision. What do I have to have? Then there's the yang part, which is planning, action, and responding, right? And in the middle, I call it this little DMZ, and I call that faith and commitment. It's when your vision begins to actually, you step into life. You actually make the commitment to do it. And in order to do that, you have to have the faith that you can. And faith means you're going to be doing stuff before you have any evidence of it, okay? Faith isn't, I got the results, so now I know it's okay. That's not faith. You know, love the Bible. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. There's another great quote in the Bible. It's a famous one, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a wonderful translation I read of that. It says, faith, perceiving as real fact that which is invisible to the senses. Your faith, wow, is when you see this vision and you realize this is real, even though it has not manifested itself here. Matter of fact, there's no evidence. There could be a ton of evidence in contrast to it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to believe my vision. That's faith. That means I'm stepping into my life as if that was the truth, because there's a conviction in my heart now. And that leads inevitably to commitment. The two of those go together. Okay, now I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you make a plan, you take action on that plan, and then you allow. You respond to the plan. You know, I do something, I get a result. What's that result? I don't fight with the result. I don't say, I shouldn't get that. No complaining. This is the result I got. I allow that result to be there. I go, oh, okay. So I need to do this instead. There's this constant energy of flow going on now between the vision and living it. And all of those little pieces have been in place. And if you see that, we all do that. All of those are there, but most of us tend to emphasize one or two of those over the others. So you've got the people who are the perpetual planners and never take action, right?
Yes.
You've got
yes.
the people who are who are planners and action takers, but they don't really have a vision.
Right.
They're just kind of spinning their wheels about stuff. Then we have people who do that and don't have that capacity to just kind of allow and see what the universe feeds back to them to see what needs to be adjusted or changed. Right? Because the universe is what it is. The universe is your particular character. So you don't force anything to happen. You make happen that which is the most like you. This whole process gets you closer and closer to pure self-expression, and pure self-expression is nothing other than being totally 100% yourself, which is the gift the world needs, you know? We don't need more skills. I need you. I need you as you.
And that's exactly where we started the show off. So we just went around in a perfect circle.
Isn't that great when that happens?
Perfect? I love that.
I wish I could take credit for that, but you know, it's not me. It's just this is the way it works. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
Okay, now tell people how they can get more information about your workshop. It's a teleseminar, right?
Yes.
And it's June 5th?
It's June 5th, yes.
And where can they sign up for it?
If they go to my site, conversationswithg.com/unboundedpotential, There's a page there, and I'll give them all the information as to how to link over and make it all happen, and also my official date for when I'm going to do it, because it originally was the May 23rd, but now it's going to be June 5th because I have to go to my son's wedding.
Yay, in Hong Kong, no less.
In Hong Kong, no less. I have a son who loves to be a world traveler. He's lived all over the place, including he's lived in Bariloche, Argentina, and now he's been living for 3 years in Hong Kong, and he's getting married to a beautiful young Asian girl, and I'm very, very pleased. It's very, very, very fun. So, conversationswithg.com/unboundedpotential, and that'll have all the information you need.
That's wonderful. Okay, I'm going to urge everyone to go to this workshop. G, you are so fantastic. What a phenomenal teacher you are. And I'm so pleased to have you on Law of Attraction Radio Network. We are really blessed.
I am so honored that you invited me to be part of this family, because it's doing such wonderful work in the world. And you are doing such an incredible job at getting it out there and getting people to know about it and getting this kind of teaching the exposure that it deserves. Myself and all the other teachers are extremely indebted to you for having done this. It's deeply appreciated.
Well, thank you, sir. And together we'll continue on getting the word out.
Indeed, we will. What else are we going to do?
Except have
I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, we're going to just do this and have bunches of fun. So thank you, G. I really appreciate you taking the time and delivering this phenomenal message to people.
Thanks, Jules.
And to all my wonderful listeners, have a great week. We'll be back next week with another show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.